Good morning. Welcome to Worship on the Hill. It's good to have all of you here this morning. So good to see you here. I want to ask you to take God's Word this morning if you've got it with you. If not, there should be a copy of the Word there in the chair in front of you. I want us to look at the Old Testament book of 1 Kings. As we are in this series, Eternity in Our Hearts, we are looking at these two great books, 1 and 2 Kings of history. This morning, we're going to be talking about the war of our souls. There is a war in my soul and for my soul, and there's one for you as well. Now, I want us to read 1 Kings 16, verse 26. This is having to do with one of the kings of Israel. His name was Omri, and he was, first of all, a commander of the armies of Israel, and he took out the king. And so it was one series after another of some bad moves. And Omri, the Bible says in verse 25, did evil in the sight of the Lord and acted more wickedly than all who were before him. And one of the things that we'll see as you read through, particularly 1 Kings, it's like each succeeding king did worse than the one before. And, of course, that's what happens when sin is passed down from generation to generation. It just gets worse and worse. But I want you to look what it says about Omri in verse 26. He walked in all the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Now, Jeroboam was the king who started Israel on a journey away from the Lord. This is the king that led Israel, the northern kingdom, into apostasy, led them into idolatry, and turning away from the Lord. And so then you just see this sin descending upon all the kings of Israel until finally Israel, of course, is taken off into Babylonian captivity. But he walked in all the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and in his sins, which he made Israel to sin. Now here it is, provoking the Lord God of Israel with their idols. Father, thank you this morning for your word. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity now to hear from you. And God, this morning to receive from you what you have for us. Your desire is to do us good. Your desire is to bless your people. Your desire is for us to be a witness in our world for the Lord Jesus Christ to men and women who don't know him. And so, Father, it is paramount for us that we are not an idolatrous people. And so, God, I pray this morning, I ask you in the name of the Lord Jesus that the power of your Holy Spirit will descend upon this place and that you will give us wisdom to see our lives for what they really are and to be able to see where idols are in our life that are bringing about destruction and causing trouble in our daily experience. And so, Father, we thank you now in the sweet name of the Lord Jesus. And in his name we pray, amen. Now, the Old Testament books of 1 and 2 Kings tell the story, and I've said this before, 1 and 2 Kings is the story of God desperately wanting to get Israel back onto spiritual track with him. And that's what we're talking about this first month in January, is about getting on spiritual track with the Lord, just tracking with him. Now, why is that important? It's important to me and it's important to you. This is not just me getting up here and talking to you. This is for me as well. Because Isaiah chapter 53 says, all of us, like sheep, have gone, how? Astray. And so what God is simply saying is that it is a proneness in me to wander. And I always have to remember that. I'm all through my life and my walk with the Lord is a series of corrections. I'm always making corrections in my life, and the future of my life depends upon me being willing to keep making corrections, unless I want to wind up like Omri and a number of these other kings that are mentioned in this book. And what God is simply saying is that simply because you and I are here this morning, simply because we're in a house of worship, does not mean that we're tracking with God. Like King Omri of Israel, we can be provoking God to anger every day.
And that is something you and I've got to think about, that we may be provoking our Heavenly Father, stirring Him with anger because in my life or in your life are idols. We may not realize they're idols, and so that's what this message is all about this morning. Now, last Sunday morning, we looked at Psalm 50 in verse 15, if you remember that. And Psalm 50, 15 was about the universality of troubles. All of us have troubles. And what the Bible says is that there are all kinds of troubles that come into my life and into your life. All my troubles are not always the same. Troubles vary. And what the Bible simply says is there is only one someone who is able to help me in whatever trouble it is that I have. All of us have got troubles. Either we're going into a trouble, we're in the midst of a trouble, or we're coming out of a trouble. And there's only one who can help us in our trouble. And He's the same one for everybody here. And of course, that's the Lord. So that's why He says in Psalm 50, 15, call upon me in the day of your trouble. What trouble? Whatever. Call upon me in the day of your trouble, and I will rescue you, and you will honor me. And I want you to think about that this morning. It's one of the things we talked about when we were talking about fasting, that when we're in the midst of troubles that do not move in our life, God teaches us that one of the things we can do to intensify our prayer is to fast. It is through denying my body that there is an intensity added to my prayer. And there are some answers to prayer that will only come about if I am fasting. And so I want you to think about that. We're looking at that, of course, the Wednesday next month on the 18th that begins Ash Wednesday up until Easter, of doing our time of 40 days of fasting leading up to that high holy day on the Christian calendar. And so you be thinking about what is it that I perhaps that's not moving in my life that I need to be fasting about. Something that I really want to see God work in my life so that we can just have a hallelujah time here on Easter Sunday morning because God has answered some of our prayers. Wouldn't that be great? To see some things that have not moved begin to change. Now, 1 and 2 Kings is about one particular thing. It is about one king after another who wanders away from God and goes into idolatry. And what happens is, trouble overruns the life of the king and the life of the people that they are seeking to serve, and the people that they love, their own families, their sons, their wives. And suddenly, these kings find themselves far away from God at a time when they really need Him. Their kingdom gets into trouble. Armies begin to come in against them. They have one problem after another, and God is not close. Why? Because God is angry. God is angry because they have stirred God, and they realize they brought trouble into their own lives because of their idolatry. And that's what I want us to think about this morning. Look at the first insight in your outline, if you will. The war against idolatry is the single greatest daily fight of our souls for as long as we live. That's what God is saying. Idolatry is my greatest fight all of my life as a follower of Jesus Christ. And idolatry, God says, is your greatest fight. Idolatry in your life and my life, now listen, will be the primary source of trouble coming into our daily experience. And so one of the things whenever trouble is in our lives that we need to ask ourselves is there idolatry in my life? Is there a place where I have put something else in front of God? Let me break this down this morning. The first thing I want you to notice is, number one, idolatry in the books of the Kings. I just want you to see this now. I'll show you how huge of an issue this was for the kings in Israel's history. And so what God is saying is, this is in Scripture because this will be a huge issue in our life. That's why God put it in here. Let me just give you examples here. I give this to you in your outline. There's 1 Kings chapter 14, verse 9. And God said, "You have done more evil than all who lived before you. You have made for yourself other gods, idols made of metal. You have provoked me to anger." Now listen, "and you have thrust me behind your back." That's what idols do. An idol puts God behind you. 1 Kings 16:13. They provoke the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger by their worthless idols. 1 Kings 21:26. He behaved in the vilest manner. How? By going after idols. 2 Kings 17, verse 12 and verse 15. They worshiped idols, though the Lord had said, "You shall not do this." They followed worthless idols and themselves became worthless. They did the things the Lord had forbidden them to do. Now, here's the insight I want you to see from that. Idolatry is not an unforgivable sin, but it is one of the top sins on God's list. Now, that brings me to my number two this morning. What is idolatry? What is idolatry, beloved, in my life and in your life? Well, idolatry, first of all, is one of the Ten Commandments. Idolatry is so big, it's part of the Big Ten. Okay, that God outlined for us, that he said, these are big no-nos. And idolatry is right in there. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. And God spoke all these words. Now listen, I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol. You shall not worship them. Now listen. When God says, you shall have no other gods before me, somebody might ask, well, so there are other gods beside the Lord? Are there other, I mean, are we like, you know, like the Roman idea, the Greek idea, you know, there's the big God and then there are lesser gods up here and they're all kind of vying for attention. That's not what God is saying at all. God's not saying that there are many gods and that he's just simply vying for top billing among all those others. That's not what the Lord is saying. In fact, God says in Holy Scripture, he said, I want you to know there is no other God but me. There's only one. Let me give you chapter and verse. Isaiah 45 and verse 5. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. From the rising to the setting of the sun, there is no one besides me. Verse 12. In Isaiah 45, it is I who made the earth and created man upon it. I stretched out the heavens with my hand. So God said, I created everything. The universe did not just happen. There was a God who made it all. Amen? God made it. It was made by his hands. Verse 22, turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. To me, every knee will bow and every tongue will swear allegiance. That's coming. Now look at the insight. There is no God but Jehovah. But listen, we can make other things God in our lives. That's what God is saying. He's saying there's not another God out there. I'm the only God that there is. And God's main directive to me is do not make anything else in your life God but me. Nothing else is to be first. Nothing else is to command your most attention. Now, how do I make something else my God? I just told you. Something else becomes a God in my life when I love it more than I love him. When I seek this more than I seek that. Him. When I give to this more than I give to him. When I care about this more than I care about him. Anything can become an idol to me. Our careers, how we make our living, our bank account, our looks can become most important. My hobby, your hobby, the hobbies of your family, physical pleasure, relaxation, marriage relationships, family relationships, friend relationships, those things can be put in front of God. There's nothing bad in and of those things. But God says, when they take my place, they become sin in the eyes of God because we push God out of first. How do you push God out of first place in your life? It's a great question. Thank you for asking that. Let me answer that. How do you push God out of first place? Listen, you push God these things, these idols, push God out of first place when the worship of God is not a priority. Now, how is worship of God a priority? Worship of God is a priority when we obey what he said, when he said, once every 7 days, you are to present yourself before me. Once every 7 days, you and your family are to come together before me, and you're to remember that I am God and you're not. That's what worship is. Worship is once every 7 days. Worship is not once a month. Worship is not once every 6 weeks. You're bordering, if not already, into idolatry when worship is not consistent. Are we tracking here?
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
God
is pushed out of first place when tithing is optional. God is pushed out of first place when life groups are not part of your life. You don't fellowship with other believers. You're not tracking with them so that they're watching your life and they can help you in your walk with him. God is not first in your life when you're not involved in any kind of ministry of giving back. God is not first in your life when you're not consistently in the word day after day after day. When you're not sharing your faith with somebody else, when you keep your mouth closed, you're not tracking with him. All those things, that's when God is in first place. That's how we make an impact for Christ. Now look at this insight in your outline. Here's what I want you to see. Whatever we love more than God, now watch this, will begin to control us. It's the law of idolatry. Whatever I love more than God will control me. What is the word for that? Addiction. Whatever I love more than God should be easy enough to identify because it will become an addiction. God's people are addicted to work. We are addicted to sports. We are addicted to recreation. We are addicted to personal time. We are addicted to so many other things because we love them, we seek them, we desire them more than God. And here's what happens. They begin to dominate our lives. And when they begin to dominate us, God says it is because you have put them in front of me. And whenever you put something in front of him, it begins to control you. And all of a sudden, you've got a problem, because that leads to the second insight. And the insight is this: whatever we love more than God will lead us astray. Now, whenever I begin to put something else in front of my Father, whenever I love something else more than I love the Lord who saved me, whenever I love something else more than the Holy Spirit who drew me to the Father and who is the God who guides me and helps me in understanding, the scripture says, when I love something else more than I love him, listen, I will begin to make mistakes in my life. I will begin to make misjudgments. Here's the reason why. Because when I love something else more than I love God, I will lose two things that God gives me when I track with him. When you track with God, God guides you and God gives you wisdom. Wisdom comes from the Lord. Guidance comes from him. God said, I know I am the only one who can tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. God already knows what's ahead of us for 2015. God already knows. Let me tell you something. There's not another person on this planet. There is nothing else that can help you plan for this year except God. God is the only one who knows what's ahead of you. God is the only one who knows everything that you and I are going to need. And God said, I want to help you. I want to bless you. I want to do you good. You and I are in a world that is falling apart. And we just learned about what's happening in Niger. We're in a world that is going crazy. Would you agree with that? And there is only one who is able to prepare you and me for what's ahead. And God says, when you put something in front of me, you're going to lose two things that I'm the only one who can give it to you. You're going to lose guidance and you're going to lose wisdom. And that means you're going to lose the ability to make good decisions. Tons and tons of women and men worship a promotion.
Now, there's nothing wrong with a promotion. Nothing wrong with a promotion in your career at all. Nothing wrong with that. But listen, if you put that, seeking a promotion, if you put that before your walk with God, I promise you one thing. You will lose perspective on life. You will begin to make poor decisions that are not based on wisdom. And I'll tell you what will happen. You will neglect your family at crucial times in the life of your family. And here's the reason why. Because keeping God first helps us to remember. Now watch this. All of us want to do well in life. Would you? Everybody agrees with that? Say amen. Amen. You want to do well in life? Amen. Huh? How many want to be second rate? I didn't think so. Do you know what the scripture says? The Bible says advancement comes from the Lord. The powers that be are ordained of Him. Do you understand that if you want to get ahead in life, the best way to get ahead in life is to never get ahead of Him? The best way to get ahead in life is to track with Him. There is a God who is able to handle every enemy that puts himself up against you. There is a God in heaven who is able to give you preference in the heart of those that are over you. There is a God who is able to give you favor before your bosses. There is a God who is able to promote you. And that's what God is saying in Holy Scripture. Getting ahead in this world takes hard work. Amen? Huh? It does. Getting ahead takes hard work. But if it becomes an idol, God is not saying be lazy, but if you let getting ahead in this world become an idol, guaranteed it will blind you, it will control you, and it will change you. You will not stay the same. When God is pushed out of first place in your life, when worship, tithing, life groups, being in the Word, sharing your faith with others, being involved in ministry, when that's not first in your life, when the walk with God is not first, you will make one mistake after another, and you will wake up one morning having paid a price for your family and for your soul that you will say, it costs too much. What happened? Where did my daughter and my son go wrong? How did my family wind up like this? It wound up when you had idols in your life. When idols came in, that's what this book is all about. That's what God is saying. This is what two books in the Word is all about. It's about idolatry. And idolatry is real in my life and in your life unless we fight against it. So number three this morning, what are the benefits of worshiping Him only? It's a good question. Y'all are asking great questions. I love you people. What are the benefits of worshiping God only? Number one, when God is first, it fulfills me. Now, I don't know about you, I enjoy enjoying life. Can I get an amen? I enjoy enjoying life. I do. I get a kick out of that. I'd rather enjoy life than dread it. You know, I enjoy doing that. And when you put God first in your life, when you love Him first, God says, I will give you a sense of fulfillment. I will give you a sense of joy in life that you will never get out of putting something in front of me. God said, I guarantee you. Pastor, could I have chapter and verse on that? Yeah. Psalm 37, verse 4. Seek your happiness in the Lord, and He will give you your heart's desire. Here's what God said. God said, listen, He said, test me. Put me first. Love me above everything else. Worship me first. And you watch and see if I don't bring you the fulfillment you've always wanted in your life. God said, I want to do you good. I want to bless you. I want to be with you as you come in and as you go out. Psalm 121, verse 7 and verse 8. Don't you want the hand of God to be on you as you come in and go out? Huh? Don't you want God's favor to be with you day after day after day? I'm going to face difficulties. There are going to be tragedies happen in my life. I want God to be with me and everything this old world's going to throw at me. I want Him with me.
And when difficulty or tragedy comes my way, I want to be able to turn immediately and know that God is there with me. I want to be able to call out to him and know that God is near. I don't want to be like Omri. I don't want to be like these other kings when in the day of their trouble, they turn around and God's not there, because God is the one who sent the trouble in their life because their lives are full of idolatry. And the Lord said, I told you, do not make anything an idol in your life above me. Now, if you count him your God, I want you to know God says, I will not share you with anything. Nothing. And that is the reason why, when I was growing up, I knew Alpha and Weston Green loved me. And one of the ways that I knew that they loved me was when I got out of line, they lit me up. I told you, it didn't matter who gave me an act of discipline. South Arkansas, we called it a whooping. I didn't really care who I got the whipping from. Daddy whipped harder, but mother whipped longer, so it just kind of averaged out. Daddy used a belt, mother used a switch. Daddy would spank through my jeans, mother would tell, drop them to the floor. And then she was on my legs like a weed eater. And I didn't enjoy that then. But that's what made me what I am today. Amen. It taught me that foolishness is in my heart. And mother and daddy drove that out of me. And I believe that there is more that God wants to do in our family here at Harmony Hill. God is wanting to give you fulfillment in life. But that all of us are missing some things that he would give us simply because we're not putting him first. And so, not only will putting God first bring you fulfillment, but number two, it'll free you up. Putting God first is the door to a changed life. You remember John 8:36? If the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. Well, how does that work? How does Jesus set me free? It's a marvelous thing. And there's a couple of things I want to give you. Number one, if I put God first in my life, I don't have to worry about the approval of others. You see, there is freedom. Watch this. There is freedom when you live your life for an audience of one. There's only one that I have to please. I love Catherine more than any other woman on this planet. But the primary goal of my life is not to please her primarily, but to make sure that I please God first. And sometimes I may have to displease her because I have to put him first. But the key to me having a better marriage is keeping him first, is making sure he's Lord and he's God. And when I live for an audience of one, it just makes life easier, because there's nobody else. Why do I want to make God number one? Because there's nobody else that can meet every need in my life. There is nobody else that can give me the power to change. God is the only one who can give me the ability to change. There is nobody else who can protect me. There's nobody else who can have my back 24/7. There's nobody else who can lead me like God can lead me. And God first simplifies my life, and it delivers me from the pressure of having to please other people. I don't have to please other people. I just got to make sure I please one. And if I please him, he'll make everything else work out. Doesn't that simplify life? See how that works? And then number two, if God is first, I don't agonize over past sins. There are three promises I want to give you in Scripture. Just write them down somewhere. God's forgiveness puts my sins, Psalm 103, verse 12. It puts my sins as far away from me as the east is from the west. You know, the east is always east. Now, if you track east, that's east. If you track east, you know, if I start going this way, I'm always going east. It never becomes west. I'm always going east. And he says, I'll throw your sins as far as the east is from the west. East and west never meet. If you're going west, you're always going west. You're never going east. You're always going west. That's what God says. God said, I'll put your sins as far away from you as the east is from the west. They'll be so far away from me, they'll never touch me again. That's what happens when he forgives me. And God promises then in Micah chapter 7, verse 19, that not only will he do that, but he said, I'll cast him into the deepest part of the sea. And as somebody said, and he posts a no fishing sign. I love that. God just takes my sins and he puts them in the deepest part of the sea. And then Isaiah 43, 25 says, I'll remember them no more. I'll never bring them up against you. Your sins and iniquities, he said, I will remember no more. That's a reason to track with him. It's a reason to put him first. And so let's talk about how do you make God first? How do you make him first? Let me give you two ways. Number one, finances. Finances. Proverbs 3, verse 9, honor the Lord by giving him the first part of all your income, and listen, and he will fill your barns to overflow. God says, you give the first part of your income back to him, and God says, I'll put a blessing on the rest of it. I'll make it go further. Here's the insight. God says money is the number one test of priorities. How you and I handle our money says more about us than anything else. All I'm going to do today is maybe look at your checkbook, if you still got one of those antiquated things. If you look at your checkbook and your check stubs, that says more about us than anything else. Deuteronomy 14, 23. The purpose of tithing is to teach you to put God first in your lives. That's in the Living Bible. What is tithing? Tithing is when I give God the first 10% of everything I make back to him. Now, the economy is going to go up and the economy is going to go down. Gas is going down right now. Fret not, it will rise again. So be careful. And struggling times will come. But here's what God says. When finances are difficult and times are really tight, God says, you make sure that you've got me first in your finances so that when the time of blessing comes, I can bless you the way that I want to bless you. He says, if you give me the first, I will take care of the rest. So the insight is here. Whatever you want God to bless in life, you put him first in it. If you want God to bless your home, you put him first in your home. If you want God to bless your finances, you put him first in your finances. And if you don't tithe, God isn't really first, because if he's not first in your finances, he's really not first in your life. That's just what Scripture says. And then number two, I put him first in activities and relationships. Activities and relationships. If God is first in my life, he will be first in the thing. Now listen, he'll be first in the things I do, and he will be first in the people I run with. Now watch this. Here's the insight. If you cannot talk about God where you go and with whom you're with, God isn't first. Proverbs 27, 19, the Living Bible. What a man really is like is shown by the kind of friends he chooses. Let me tell you. The friends you run with say more about you probably than anything else. What kind of people do you hang with? What kind of people are you with during the course of a week? This can be affecting God's blessing on your life. Because if you're with a group of friends with whom you cannot talk about your walk with God, you cannot talk about Jesus, you cannot talk about the Lord, it makes things all uncomfortable, then it means you're tracking with some friends you don't need to be tracking with. Why? Because you become like the people you spend the most time with. The Bible warns this, 1 Corinthians 15, 33, bad company corrupts good morals. Now, we don't need to break relationships with all people who don't know the Lord, right? We need to be witnesses. But there's a difference between reaching out to them and running with them. That's two totally different things. And if you have to modify your life in order to be with them, you're going further than what God wants. Proverbs 12:26, a righteous man is careful about his friendships. If you spend time with people who take God lightly, you will become a casual believer. You will begin to pull back in your walk with the Lord. Whoever you spend time with is what you will become. Now, moms and dad, listen for just a minute. I'm gonna land this plane. What type of people do you expose your children to in your home? Who are you inviting into your home? Who's coming into your home that's around your children? You ought to invite into your home people from this fellowship who model the behavior that you want your kids to model. That's who you ought to be inviting your home. Here's the insight. If you don't provide godly models for your kids to follow, they're going to get it from TV. That's where they'll get it, because that's what they're watching. And so here's the thing. That's why you need life groups. You need to be in a life group this year to get to know godly men and godly women that you can invite into your home so that your kids can see the type of people you want them to emulate. Because that's who you ought to be inviting into your home. There ought to be nobody coming into your home that your kids can't listen to them and follow them because of the kind of life that they're living. Now I want you to be still for just a minute. This morning in this invitational time, here's what I want us to do. I want to give you an opportunity to leave here this morning knowing that God is not far off from you because you've angered him with idolatry. The Lord says, when there is an idol in my life, we have put God behind us. He said, you have thrust me behind your back. And I want you to ask yourself, is there an idol in my life? Have I put God behind me? He's not first. He's not a priority. It's if I can work him in. Am I going someplace I shouldn't? Am I doing something I shouldn't? Or am I not doing something that I should? And I want you this morning, in this invitational time, the pastor's going to be down here with me. Stacy's going to come. We're going to have a time of invitation. I want you this morning to just come to him and say, oh God, this morning, I want your hand on me. I want your hand on me as I come in and as I go out. God, I don't want you behind me. I want you in front of me. Now listen, every one of us at some time or another has an idol in our life. This has made me think so much in my life. Is there something that I'm putting in front of him? Now, I've been on my face before him. I want to know if there's something that I am tracking more with that than I am with the Lord. Is there something in my life that it is difficult for me to say no to? That's a real wake-up call. That I would say no to anything that would keep me from him. And so in this invitation time, the pastors will be here with me. I want to open the altar, and I want to invite you to come. And while you're saying this morning, you say, oh God, I don't want you behind me. I want you in front of me. I want to come in and go out, and I want to know your hand is with me. I want to know I'm blessable. I want you and me. I want this fellowship to be blessable. We don't want to lose the hand of God on us. We don't want to be a church of idolatry. So would you stand together? Father, thank you this morning for the word. Thank you, Father, for being so honest and truthful with us. And oh God, I pray this morning that you will help us to see where idols may be in our life, that we need to push them out of our life, push them out of first place and put you first. If there are those of us that worship has not been a priority, life group has not been a priority, ministry, being in the Word every day, sharing our faith has not been a priority, God, help us this morning to put you in your proper place out front.
We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.